Charles can't see this bottle here, can he? I'm not supposed to have any beverages here in the sanctuary. Proverbs chapter 2. Want to read this psalm, and then we will go back and work through it. Proverbs chapter 2. This is the easier part of the book of Proverbs. Once you get past like chapters 9 or 10, it's just individual statements that are just kind of hitting you from different directions. They're kind of hard to figure out what's the connection, but at least in the first part of the book, there are themes that are being addressed. And so this is one of the easier chapters for us to look at. Proverbs chapter 2, it begins with a description of the wisdom of God, verses 1 through 11, and then verses 12 through 22, the ways of wickedness. First example is that of the wicked men, beginning at verse 12 to verse 15, and then the wayward woman, verses 16 on, and then there's a conclusion, verses 20, 21, and 22. So we'll begin by reading the entire proverb. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. Let's pray. Father, we come this evening, we open our Bibles, and we read it. We read it together. And we do so in faith, expecting you to share with us your wisdom, and that you would teach us. We cry out for wisdom. We confess that we lack it, and we need it, and so we ask that you would give it. We ask in faith, believing that you will. because you've promised. We pray that this wisdom would be something that we believe and that we respond to in obedience in our lives, that we put into practice the things that we are taught from your word. And we pray for your Holy Spirit to be with us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. One man's trash is another man's treasure. An easy way to see that is just to go on eBay. And you see what people are just going through their homes and they're finding all kinds of things that they don't want anymore, and you just go on and you sell it. And, you know, it's trash. It doesn't mean anything to you, but you can list it on eBay. Someone's going to bid on it and buy it, usually. One man's trash is another man's treasure. One of our favorite television shows right now is Pawn Stars. Rick Harrison, the old man, Big Hoss, and Chum Lee. And it's a 24-hour pawn shop in Las Vegas, Nevada. And it's on the History Channel, so it's educational, so it's okay to watch. And you know that these people are just studying up and researching, so that if someone just happens to come in with a piece of trash, or is a treasure, they're able to tell you everything that you've ever wanted to know about that particular item, whatever it is. It is somewhat educational, and it's interesting just to see the things that come in. Another show is American Pickers. Two guys and a tattooed lady from Iowa. And they just travel around the United States and they look for trash and they offer big money and then they take it and they sell it in their antique store, whatever it is, in Iowa. And they allow you to watch the whole experience. One man's trash is another man's treasure. My wife and I like to go on little Saturday trips around South Carolina to hit some of these junk places and antique stores. In Florence, the Thieves Market, Palmetto Peddlers, or the Santee area, or Walterboro is a great place to go. There's just a whole street full of these kind of shops and nice places to eat. When we go, obviously I always look for books and never find anything. This is the worst of the worst of used books. This is stuff that's on the way to being used as kindling in fireplaces, but I'm forced to look anyway. And record albums. Libby looks for old milk bottles. She's always looking for Coburg milk bottles or white enamelware with blue trim. One man's trash is another man's treasure. Now, what about life in terms of the moral and the spiritual? And here we find the very same thing. There's a whole lot of trash out there that's being passed off as treasure. Evolution, alternative lifestyles, Eastern religions, ancient philosophies, the glitter, the glue of this materialistic world. And sadly, the true treasure is getting thrown out with the trash. Family values, marital faithfulness, biblical values, a Christian world and life view, doctrinal and confessional fidelity, the gospel of God's grace, these good things get thrown out and are viewed by many as trash. Proverbs 2 is all about trash and treasure. Here God shows us some trash so that we can recognize it for what it really is. And he also shows us some true treasure. And so let's look at Proverbs 2. But for my purpose this evening, I want to do something different. I want to start at the end and then work back up to verse 1. So beginning at the end of Proverbs, the second section of this chapter, and then working backward. I want to show you, first of all, what the trash looks like. And then we'll look at the treasure. And then we'll finally come to see how we get the treasure and we avoid the trash. What are the dangers that we face in living in this world? And then what are the good things that God has for us? And then finally, how is it that we actually get those good things from God and we avoid the things that are dangerous? So let's work backwards through this chapter. And we'll begin with the world of trash. And this is not just harmless trash. I mean, this is not stuff that can be recycled or anything. This is hazardous waste. This is bad stuff. It's deadly. It's a dangerous world that you and I live in, and it's described for us in verses 12 through 22. Here we come face to face with two very dangerous people. First of all, there's the wicked man who uses twisted talk. Verse 12. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse. He's always twisting the truth. He's calling the trash treasure and the treasure trash. He's calling evil good and good evil. He's confusing the two, and he's twisting the value of things. Notice in verse 13, we see his purpose in life. Who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways. His purpose is to walk in the darkness. Verse 14, we see where he finds pleasure. Those who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil. That's where they find pleasure in doing things that are wrong. Verse 15, we see the path that he chooses for himself in life, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Do you know this man? I mean, do you run into him at work? Do you know who this man is? He's the guy at work that gives you bad advice. Go ahead, cut corners. Nobody's going to find out if you do something a little dishonest. You know, I'll cover for you. No one's going to find out. No one will know. He's the guy who enjoys doing what's wrong. Breaking the rules, pushing the envelope, trying to get away with as much as he can. And he's always inviting you to join in with him. Come on. You know, let's all do this together. He's the guy who's always lying to you, whether it's in the classroom or on television. He's the man that's telling you that man is the measure of all things. Life is what you make of it. We're all here by chance. There's nothing beyond death. When you're dead, you're dead. You're just gone. There's no God out there who's going to get you if you sin. Jesus is just a myth produced by some overzealous religious fanatics. All religions are really the same, and Christianity is one of the worst. It's the least tolerant. Do you know this man? Have you had conversations with him? Libby and I enjoy watching British crime shows on BBC channel or Netflix or something, but I've been amazed in watching these how much anti-Christian thought there is. It just kind of seeps out. It just seems to be in the lifestyle. For something that was a Christian country, it just seems that they are I mean, it's worse that we think it's bad in the United States, right? It seems much worse there. But these are the people who are speaking with twisted speech, distorting the truth. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse. And then there's the woman who uses seductive speech, verse 16. Wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words. Do you know this woman? She's the woman who flirts with you at work. She's the woman who tries to get you to slack off and not be so stuck up and disciplined. You know, come on, you don't need to go home right after work. Why don't you just you know, let's just talk. Let's go somewhere where we can just talk. Let's unwind a little bit. What's the harm? She's the woman who appears on your television screen at night, using her body to get you to buy things that you don't need and can't afford. She's the woman who hides and no one sees her except for you when you're alone and you're on the internet or in front of a DVD. Do you know this woman? This is the world of trash. I mean, this is life as it really is. It's filled with people. Men who twisted talk will try to get you to do things that are wrong. The wayward woman with her seductive speech. This is what life is all about. But God says that this is hazardous waste. This is trash and it's dangerous. Verse 18 and 19, surely her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. So there's the warning about the trash. Now, moving backward through the chapter, up towards the beginning of the chapter, we step away from the trash and we can see the treasure that God has for us. And in Proverbs 2, this treasure is being described for us in verses 5 through 11. And here we see the value of God's wisdom, true treasure. Notice that this wisdom can only be found in the fear of the Lord. Verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I mean, this is the great theme of the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so you have to start here with the fear of the Lord. Rather than being swayed by the twisted man and the seductive woman, you're going to be influenced more by who God is and what God says, God's word. And so true wisdom comes from the mouth of the Lord. Verse 6. But the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. It's his word. It's what he says in the Bible that gives us wisdom. We saw it in our catechism. Question 89. It's the Spirit of God that makes the reading, but especially the preaching of the word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners, and of building them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. That's what the Word is doing. It convicts us. It convinces us. It transforms us through faith unto salvation. It's this wisdom that leads then to a truly good life. I mean, here's the treasure, verses 7 through 11. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. He guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. I mean, do you want success? As God defines it, as God determines what success is, do you want success? Do you want to understand what is right and just and fair? Do you want to understand every good path? It's contained in this wisdom. Notice on one hand that this wisdom will protect you from what's evil by surrounding you with what is good. Verse 7, God becomes our shield. Verse 8, his word guards us, preserves us, protects us. Verse 11, true understanding watches over us. It guards us. God's word and God's wisdom becomes like a protective wall between us and the dangerous trash. It's something that protects us. It guards us because we have God's wisdom. We have God's word because we know God's will. It becomes something that protects us from what is dangerous. And then on the other hand, it will enable you to discern the difference between evil and good. Verse 9, you will discern, understand righteousness. Verse 11, discretion will guard you. You'll be able to untwist the twisted speech of the wicked man. You'll be able to see through the seductions and the seductive devices of the wayward woman. You'll be able to detect what's trash and what's treasure. You go into these junk places, you go into these antique stores. What we have noticed is because these television shows are so popular now that people are making reproductions. They're making brand new stuff and dragging it in the dirt, making it dirty, and then trying to pass it off as, you know, some antique that's 100 years old. Milk bottles that were just made a week ago, you know, being passed off as some antique dairy that's been out of business for 50 years or something. You've got to learn how to tell the trash from the treasure. And that's God's promise. You will discern righteousness. You will be able to understand. Discretion will guard you. Now, moving backwards one last time, we come to the opening verses of the chapter. And it's here that we see the means by which we find the treasure and avoid the trash. The end of Proverbs 2 is about the trash. Right in the middle, we've got this picture of the treasure, true wisdom from God. But the way in which the proverb begins is by telling us how we get that treasure, that wisdom. Wisdom comes from the Lord. It comes from His mouth, from what He says, His word. But how is God's word to be read and heard so that that wisdom becomes a tool within us by which we can discern the difference between good and evil, the treasure and the trash? Well, verses 1 through 4 show us how to get started. I think most obviously you have to read and hear God's word. You have to be exposed to God's word. Verse 1, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you." The very first step is simply to put yourself in the place where you receive God's sayings. You put yourself in front of an open Bible. I think you literally have to do that. When you go home, put your Bible in a place where you will stumble over it every day. I mean, don't put it off on a shelf somewhere, but literally put it somewhere where you will see it and you'll be more prone to pick it up and read it and to develop that discipline. Put yourself in front of an open Bible. Put yourself in front of the preached Word of God. Be faithful in attending church and working through the sermons that you hear. But then we have to read and hear God's word in a certain way. You have to prepare yourself. Verse 1, "If you will treasure, if you will store up my commandments within you." You've got to have the frame of mind that this is really going to be worth my while. You know, why read my Bible? You know, why go to church? Same old thing. You've got to be convinced that this is really important. You've got to prepare yourself that this is something I really do need to know. This is going to make a difference in my life. If I don't know this, if I don't do this, I'm going to get fooled. Verse 2, "Turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding." You have to tune in to what God is saying. Pay attention, concentrate on what you read and hear. How can I do that? Well, if you're going to read your Bible, don't do it in front of the television set. You've got to find a quiet place, which becomes harder and harder, doesn't it? With the way that our culture goes, finding a quiet place where I can get alone and think about what I'm reading. It's a real challenge in our noisy world. Find a quiet place and a quiet time. If you're coming to hear God's word, plenty of rest before you come on Sundays. Sunday night live means Saturday night live means Sunday morning dead. If you don't have sufficient rest, you're not going to be able to pay attention and to really take in God's word. Get here on time so that you can prepare during the prelude. Come in quietly and take your seat. Move up towards the front so that people that are late, they can come in the back. But get here in plenty of time so that you can prepare. Don't think that you can just rush in and sit here for an hour and 20 minutes or something, and that you're going to be able to process what's going on. You've really got to prepare yourself when you come. Concentrate on what you read and hear. The older I get, the less I can read. When I was younger, it was nothing to read through the Bible in a year. What I find now is I just get so bogged down as I'm reading it. I think the rule here is quality is better than quantity. It's much better to take something and really be able to think about it and to meditate on it and to see its application in your life than just to get through whatever it is, the 3 point, or 4.5 chapters a day that you have to read to get through the Bible. Schedules are good, and some of us need that kind of discipline, but we need to concentrate on what we're reading, what we're hearing. Prepare yourself. Next, you have to pray. Verse 3. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, with the ear you hear, with the heart you receive and you reflect, and with the voice then you ask God for understanding. Help me to understand what's going on here. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, what are you supposed to do? Ask. God will give it. It's a promise. Let him ask of God who gives to all generously. And so begin with prayer. If you're in the habit of just trying to rush through your devotions, open the Bible, I'm going to read it really quick because I've got to be somewhere, it's very easy to skip over this very necessary step of praying before you read, asking God to teach you. End with prayer, thanking God for what you've read and what He said to you. Turn everything you read into prayer. The announcement was made to Mary and that she was going to give birth to a son. And as she was listening to the word of God, she prayed, "Behold, your servant, may it be done to your handmaid. May it be done to me." She begins to pray as she hears that word. You can develop that habit as you read through the word to periodically stop at the end of a major thought, a paragraph or something, and where God begins to speak to you through His Word, and you begin to respond in prayer as you read through a passage. Prepare yourself, pray. You have to be diligent about this. Verse 4. If you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure. Libby and I visited Ralph Blanco's family some 8 years ago in Vero Beach, Florida. And Ralph took us to see what is called Florida's Treasure Coast. I don't know if anyone has been there. Florida's Treasure Coast, just off of Vero. July 31st, 1715, 11 Spanish galleons. Now you know why Ralph was interested in taking us there. 11 Spanish galleons loaded with gold and silver and precious jewels from all over the world went to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean as a result of a hurricane. These ships had been sent out all over the world to collect all kinds of stuff and bring it back to the royal family in Spain. And 11 ships went down during this hurricane. And almost 300 years later, as we were there, you could still see the treasure hunters. They had these boats just off the beach, with these huge vacuum kind of things, and they were just sucking up the sand on the bottom just off of the beach, and they were finding treasure. And they had a museum. I think you had to pay to go into the museum, so they're making even more off of that. But you go in, they're just constantly finding things. There's just so much treasure that is there. And the person in the museum said, you know, you could just be walking down the beach, and once in a while someone will find a small coin that is washed up. You know, the ocean floor is moving and other storms have caused things to move about. But once in a while someone will just discover something that is washed up on the beach. There's a lot of treasure out there, and the state of Florida makes a huge amount of money. They take their percentage because it's just off their coast. But if you want to get all of the treasure, you can't just walk up and down the beach hoping to find a little coin. You've got to be out there, and you've got to work hard, and you've got to be diligent. You've got to have a plan, and you've got to be at work at it. The wealth of God's wisdom is just like that. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. You know, don't be content just to get something out of God's word. You want to get everything that you can that's there. You want everything that God has for you. When we go into these junk places, if Libby sees a milk bottle, she'll turn the place upside down because she's looking for that one milk bottle that says Coburg Dairy. You have to search for it. You have to be diligent. Does your devotional reading in the Bible during the work look anything like a diligent search? 1 Timothy 4:15, Paul tells Timothy, read the scriptures, and then he says, take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. And then finally, to be successful in sorting through the trash and the treasure, we need a reminder and a promise. And here's the reminder. This is our responsibility. This is something that we've got to do. The only way to get to verses 5 through 11, where we see the true treasure being described, is to go through verses 1 through 4, the diligent search. We went backward through the proverb, but in reality, you've got to start just as it is written. You begin at verse 1. The diligent search is what leads you to the true treasure, which will then enable you to avoid the trash. The chapter begins with the word if. My son, if you will receive my sayings, if you cry for discernment, if you seek for her as silver. Verse 5, then you will find God's treasure. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. The only way to get through to verses 5 through 11 is through the ifs of verses 1 through 4. And that's our responsibility. And then second, here's the promise. This is what God will do. The word if that opens verse 1, that leads to the word then in verse 5, next leads to the word for in verse 6. And here's the payoff. For the Lord gives wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. If you, with diligence, preparation, and prayer, will apply yourself to read and hear God's word, then you will be blessed. For he who promised is faithful. For the Lord gives wisdom. One man's trash is another man's treasure. Don't be fooled by the trash. It's out there. And it's dangerous. The twisted speech. Wicked men. Seductive devices of the wayward woman. Don't be content with just anything, finding anything. Go for the true treasure. And then don't settle just for a trickle of true treasure. You want the whole thing. You want the whole treasure chest. You want everything that God has for you, the wisdom of God contained in the Scriptures. Let's pray.